I just remember seeing a picture from us when we were doing sources, like, company photo shoot. Mm-hmm. And do you remember we were in, like, all black? We were in, it was our first year. We were in, like, the warehouse, and we were on the scaffolding. I saw a picture of you and I on the top. We were side by side, but I don't think we really, like, spoke then.
No, not really. I didn't really talk to anybody first year. No, source.
We actually didn't become friends, I think, until second year.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so. And then we just connected because we were like, we're the old ladies.
That's probably what it was.
We're the old ladies. So
here so we are. Old being like, and what? We were 20.
I was 22, okay, wait, I think, 20 when I moved
here. Yeah, 22, 23.
Yeah. We were like, we're the old ladies in the source group.
In source dance company. We weren't the oldest, though. That's for sure.
No, we were not the oldest. We were not the oldest,
but.
So I think we connected because of that.
Okay.
And we just started hanging out, and then everybody was like, Shay and Meg.
I love that for us. I just, yeah, I don't even know. And I know we used to walk home together, like, the same direction, and then Tal and I would go off to our own way, and then. Yeah. Then you would go to your place.
And then we started, like, I would, like, come over to yours.
Yes.
And the one time when we went to the club in our dance outfits, sweaty.
One time, guys, we, just a Saturday night after our dance company class of, like, 3-4 hours long, we're in sweatpants. So, granted, also, the studio is very hot. We're dripping in sweat in the studio. We come home so gross. One, because I never, like, I'm just not someone to go into my bed without cleaning my, like, body or, like, showering. So the fact that we went out again later in the same clothes, anyway, so gross. But we downed a bottle of wine each. And then went to and we, the, like, bar.
We, like, did not drink that often.
No, we definitely. So no, we were absolutely like, whoa. Not. So we were having fun in our dance sweatpants at the bar. You were doing, like, tricks.
Doing, like, gymnastics.
You were doing gymnastics. Club. It was quite iconic. It was so funny.
No, that was so funny.
I love that for us. Yeah. And now we live basically across the street from each other. It's so fun.
Yeah, we do.
For those of you who don't know, one of my best friends, Shay, she lives across the street from me. I've definitely talked about her on the pod, but I can see her apartment from my balcony.
She can see my door.
It's like a little creepy. I can see her when she's going in and out and, you know, who she's bringing over. But I love that. But anyways, hi guys. Welcome back to another episode of Soulful Living with Megs. I'm so happy to have you here. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule to spend a few moments of connection with me. I am so excited because we have another guest star on the pod. Shay, welcome.
Oh, thank you. I'm so excited to be here. I feel very, like, honored to be on the pod right now.
Oh my gosh, I love that. I'm so happy that you're here. And we have two mics now, guys, going. Thank goodness we figured it out. It took me a bit of time to set it up. I bought the same mic that I'm using right now, and then my computer thought that they were the exact same, which makes sense because it was the same model, so they weren't separating sound-wise, so I had to return that. Pick up this one that Shay's using, but hey, it's working. We're good. And now we can hopefully hear each other properly. But we're ready. We're ready to get into some tea.
Yeah, we are.
But I'm so excited that you're here. I feel like Shay, one, she's way smarter than me. That's so not true. She's so intelligent.
You're so kind. That's so not true.
But she has a lot of insight for things you've been through in life and, like, relationship stuff and, like, even what's currently going on in our world. I feel like you have so much knowledge that you can even bring to the community. And also, every time we're together, we just, like, joke and laugh. So it's just kind of like a goofy time.
Yeah.
So it's going to be like a funny episode today. Probably we'll have some things that you can take with you in terms of advice or just knowing that you're not alone in some of these things. And of course, whatever doesn't resonate with you, no worries. I just, whatever speaks to your heart and soul, we want you to take from that. Yeah, we have, like, so many random things to talk about today. Mm-hmm. We're going to get into some hot takes, which so fun. We agree. So fun. We agree on some of these things and disagree on some of them, which will be fun. And then we just have some things to discuss about friendship and relationships and just all that fun stuff. So I love that.
You really hyped me up there. So now I really got to show up for the pod.
Yeah, you got to show up for really the community. Show up
for the community here.
No, I love that. And she's also obviously biased to the pod because she listens to it.
Yeah, of course I am biased to the pod. But it's like, it's a good bias. It's a not actual bias because I actually like it. So
love that. Love you. Okay, I guess we can just get into some random hot takes. Some of these are so random. I just, whatever. They just mean nothing, but I think it'd be fun to kind of go through. The first one that we have here are that mocktails are better than cocktails. Obviously, I'm for a mocktail.
I disagree.
Yes, so fair, so fair. I guess to say my piece of it is that, one, you're not getting a hangover, because I don't know. I feel like when I was 18 till about like 20, 21, I was totally fine with drinking. I'd wake up the next day, rarely hungover. Mm-hmm. There'd be a few times where if I got blackout, I was probably feeling it. But I just vaguely remember like 18, 19 coming home from the club, and like the next day we rallied. Like sometimes it was brutal, but I was fine. But
yeah.
The older I've gotten, the harder it's become to actually not be hungover. The headaches, I just also feel like the fatigue the next day, I just like ruins a whole day. And like, not even if it's a Sunday, but like Sunday scaries are just the anxiety that I get. Mm. None of that with a little mocktail. And it looks like you are still drinking with your friends when you're out and about with this little mocktail, which I love. If you're, you know, nervous about the social pressure of it all, you can still look like you're drinking. And I personally feel like if you're with the right people, like all my amazing friends in my life, that I can have fun no matter what. Even though, okay, to be fair, we'll go into why you think cocktails are better, which is so fair. But to be fair, if there were no repercussions of alcohol, if I could have fun that I do when you get that buzz, not before you like tip over or the anxiety or the headaches or, you know, even like it's just not good for inflammation in your body, I would totally do it for fun. But there's not a lot of like, for me, benefit right now.
Mm-hmm. Except Aperol spritzes are pretty good.
They are yummy. I'll give you that.
They are yummy.
But tell me why cocktails are better.
To be fair, those are all valid points.
Yes.
And I do agree with all of them.
Of course.
One, okay, let's talk about the price of mocktails. Why are they the same price as a cocktail? There's no alcohol. There's no alcohol in it.
I agree with you.
It's the same like mix. So it doesn't make sense to me economically. And I also just like drinking and getting a little buzz on. And I found, I mean, I don't really get anxiety, to be fair. Like, I'll get hangovers, but I don't get the anxiety feeling. And I've seen people go through it, and I'm like, thank God that I don't feel that way.
Yeah.
And I've kind of learnt in my old age now.
Okay, okay, we're not old, guys. We're not old.
That sometimes I just gotta take the L. Like, I'm just gonna go have a good night with friends and then wake up feeling like shit the next day because I'm young.
You're right.
But I'm young, and I'm like, you know what? At one day of like not feeling great, and what I try to do if I go out drinking the night before, I need to have something planned for the next day. If I don't have anything planned and it's just like laying in bed, then I'm gonna feel gross. Like,
that's
not
smart.
Gonna feel good. So I'm like, even like work or like just like a fun activity plan for the day, then that's how I don't feel as gross the next day, because I like have something to look forward to.
That's a really smart thing.
And I have to be in a good headspace. And then it's just like a psychological thing where I kind of think myself out of the hangover and then I'm good.
I love that.
It's like a fun little cocktail.
I know. Sometimes they are really fun.
Yeah. Sometimes they are fun. A little buzz on.
A little buzz is nice.
Inhibitions are low. Like,
it's so fair. So fair. You're like way more bold. You can speak your truth, your mind, whatever. But I do agree. The price of a friggin' mocktail is the same.
Exactly. And I wouldn't be caught dead going on a date sober. Like, a first date sober actually sounds like the worst experience of my life. Like, I can't handle
it. It is nerve-wracking, I agree.
Yeah.
Gosh, I don't know. I would be nervous either way. I'd be friggin' not slurring my words sober, but I would be tripping over my words sober if I was nervous, and then also probably the same thing drunk. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, no, I agree with you to that point. I just wish that cocktails and alcohol in general didn't really have the side effects that they do sometimes.
I agree. They just put out a study that says gin and tonic compared to everything else
is one of my favorites, is the
healthiest drink that you can have if you're going out, like low in sugar, like it's not going to be super inflammatory to your system compared to others. So I'm going to start. I've never actually had a gin and tonic.
If you have a good gin, it's very good. Yeah. And a good, like, sparkling water or tonic, very good with the lime. Yeah, it's brilliant.
You need the lime. So that's what I'm going to start drinking, I've decided.
You need the lime for sure.
We'll see.
No,
we'll
I love that for you. I think that's a great idea. I also agree with the sugar. Even mocktails are high in sugar content. It depends on what you're getting.
Yeah.
So maybe the move is to get a little, just a soda water and a lime, and pretend you're having a gin and tonic for those that you want a mocktail, and then somebody can have a good gin and tonic.
Yeah.
I remember my friends and I, like Nat and Laura back at home, used to, that was our main, not a gin and tonic, but we would take shots of gin often. It would be like tequila or gin, which I like tequila a lot. Oh, and I also prefer gin over vodka. I cannot do vodka anymore.
I can't do vodka.
Also, Shay, something about Shay you should know is that she cannot take a shot for her life.
Like, not for my life. I have so many videos of me, like, gagging.
No, I have videos too.
It's really embarrassing. It's not good. I need to stop.
I love it. I guess we'll get into the next one. What do we have here? Working only as many hours as you need to complete the tasks of the day, or a 4-day work week.
Absolutely.
I think we both agree with this on this point.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because why am I sitting for hours at my desk being like, I've done everything. I've done it all. What else am I supposed to do? Do little
twiddle your thumbs?
Or do little tasks around? No, I'm getting paid for what my job is. I'm not going to do above and beyond.
No, and I think working hard is obviously important. Doing your job title is very important. But if you're done the most important tasks for the day, you don't have a lot of things to do, then I don't see a reason why you can't go home early. Exactly. Or even like 2 p.m. on Friday if you do work. Yeah. I know your hours are a little bit different, but you know, if someone's doing a traditional 9-to-5, if by 2 p.m. on Friday you're done, why don't you should just leave. Mm-hmm. Also, I think it's a problem. We need to be paid more. I think everybody in the world needs to get paid a little bit more.
Oh, yeah.
That's a problem in and of itself. But if you've completed your tasks for the day, you should be able to go home.
Yeah.
Because that would help your mental health for sure.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Because sometimes I'm sitting at work. Yes, I feel like I always have those. You probably have this too, where you put off those tasks that can be put off because they're boring or just you don't need to think much when you're doing them.
Exactly.
Obviously, I always have those. But there's no matter what, there's always going to be work. There's always things for you to do. So if you get the most important things done out of the way.
Yeah.
I just feel like we need either that where you get to leave early or a 4-day work week.
I agree.
3-day weekend.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Like even yesterday, I got to go home like an hour early because our last client didn't show up. And we're like, we're getting out of here.
Exactly.
Why would I stay?
Why would you stay?
Why would I stay? So, and it didn't, it made me so happy. Best day of my life.
Exactly.
I'm like, I get to go home. I'm so tired.
Exactly.
And it did not impact my work day today whatsoever, going home an hour early.
No. You still had to do things today at work.
Yeah.
That you would have had to do had you finished an hour later or the time that you're supposed to finish.
Yep. And I did all the things that I had to do.
And correct me if I'm wrong. I know not everybody is like this, the older generation, but I do feel like a lot of the people that are pushing back on this idea are older than
we are.
They're used to.
You don't want to work nowadays. No,
we do.
We want to work and we want to do what our job is. We don't want to be sitting there twiddling our thumbs for 2 hours when there's nothing else to do.
No, and we also want a work-life balance. I feel like that's really important.
Exactly.
If we had a 3-day weekend, I feel like I would be a much happier worker, an employee as well, because you need a day to do your chores and your errands and your groceries. You need a day to hang out with your friends and do like socializing things. And then you need a day to relax and do nothing.
100%
agree. We just don't have enough time in
the
weekend to get everything done and then work 5 days a week if you are doing a traditional, you know, corporate job Monday to Friday, 9-to-5. And also, even for you, you have two jobs. Yeah. I also have two jobs when I'm teaching.
You do.
And
you
so do. You're busy even after you're done your actual work, your job.
I get
your
one
desk
day off
job.
Right now.
See, that's crazy. And even I know so many people in my life that have different schedules like that where they're working like 12 days on and then they get one day off. Or Nat's always working, 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 and she'll get like one day off here and there. And It's just crazy to me that we don't have a better system in place where we can prioritize working, because I understand that that's important, but then also prioritizing the time off that you need to rest.
Exactly. Well, because we want to work to live. We don't want to live to work.
Yeah. Oh, and also where we live too is just problematic in terms of how expensive it is. Yeah. I also feel like, me personally, I have very expensive taste for what I want. So many expensive things. I'm like, wait, this is what I want. And maybe my paycheck numbers don't match that yet. And hopefully we're getting there one day. Or just I'll marry rich. So no, I'm funny. Just kidding. I mean, it would help. But
it would help.
It would very it much would help. But
yeah. Give me a little cushion.
But I do feel like my mental health would be exponentially increased in terms of positivity if we got to leave early during the days that we finish our tasks or had a 40 work week.
100% agree.
So good.
And other countries are doing it.
Other countries are doing it. So I think we need to start implementing that.
Yeah.
I don't know why, especially like our Western culture and like Canada and even the States are probably worse off than we are, but
yeah,
we're just not.
We're little worker bunnies.
We're little worker bunnies. I don't like it sometimes.
Me neither.
Oh, gosh. Me neither. Anyway, what do we have for our next one? Okay, maybe we'll get to this one after. Let's talk about the ultimatum first. Oh. So we need your thoughts, Shay, on the ultimatum show. For those of you, you've probably heard of it on Netflix. It's this reality show. You should check it out if you haven't. It's pretty dumpster fire, but it's quite entertaining if you enjoy reality television. And then I kind of wanted to get your take on whether or not you like ultimatums, or have you ever given one? Have you received one? And just your thoughts, of the show, and then the actual premise of why the show was created. So what do you think about the show itself?
I've watched all the seasons.
Same.
I mean, it's entertaining.
So entertaining.
But I haven't seen a single couple on there that I'm like, yeah, you guys should be together.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a single couple. Because there shouldn't be any – the ultimatum – of, well, if you don't marry me, I'm going to break up with you. You just shouldn't be together.
I agree. Why do you need to go on this show and then date other people to know if that person is your partner? Because if they were, you wouldn't be issuing this ultimatum. You would know.
You would know.
I do feel like, obviously, people go on the show to get famous or for clout or whatever it is, just to get their name out. I think that that's a huge thing. But I wonder if some people genuinely think it would change the dynamic of how, say, if you had a partner and you issued him an ultimatum, I'm sure people, women and men, like back and forth, they've probably thought, this will make my partner want to be with me more because they're actually losing me.
Probably. That's probably the thoughts going through their head. But if you are issuing an ultimatum to someone, you should not be in a relationship with that person.
Yeah, do you really want to be with someone that you have to say, do this or I'm not going to be with you?
Exactly, because if like you truly love them and they had real reasons for not wanting to get married at that point in time, then there would be no ultimatum and you would wait for them. Or if you truly love them and they didn't want to get married and had kind of, you know, just bad reasons for not wanting to do it, then you also shouldn't be with that person, because then why are they holding off from that? It's just a silly concept. I mean, Netflix loves to stir the pot with these shows, don't they?
And it's so entertaining for the viewer.
Exactly.
They do a smart job. Obviously, this is what they're doing to make their money, and they're definitely catching my eye for all of these shows.
Of course.
But if you need to I agree with you. Issue your partner an ultimatum for something that you probably knew fairly early on in the relationship this wasn't something, like, if they didn't want to get married for whatever reason, like a lot of these people were saying, you know, I want to get financially to a different place. Mm-hmm. Okay, I think that that's a fair statement to say.
Finish my degree.
I think that that's very fair to say. I think
that is very fair. Because one, I mean, weddings are expensive.
Of course.
So, and if you don't have help from your parents, because a lot of people don't. Then you're going to be paying for that by yourself. And even if it's a small wedding, it's still going to be thousands of dollars.
It's so expensive. And then
so expensive.
Also, like, if people do think that way of financially being at this place, some people also may feel like, you know, the more traditional timeline would come into place of, if we're getting married, then we're going to then live together and then have children, and that even it costs more money. And so they really want to be at a place where they feel content in providing in that sense, which I think is fair.
And if you truly love someone, then you'd understand those reasons.
Yes. But I agree that if you have to issue this these ultimatums, are they your person? Also, if you are dating someone who from the beginning didn't want to get married or wasn't interested in that type of union, then why are you with them anyway? Because I often feel like, I know it's not just women, but as a woman, I hear it often from other women that we feel like we can change other people.
Yeah,
and we're the ones that want to fix that, but we can't. Like, I don't think that, but I don't think that is such a blue job. Why the heck are we trying to bob the building? Jeez. But why are we feeling like we can change this person's values?
And I feel like it's because we've just been brought up in a way, like girls have been brought up in a way to, like, we're always, well, just work on it. Like, just work
on it. We always want
just
to be better.
Just get through it. Like, you know what? Like, like, it's just something that you have to get through. Okay, well, not always. Not always, but I do feel like we're brought up that way.
I agree.
And we see it in our parents' relationships or our grandparents' relationships.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. Yeah, where we truly think, like, we can change them because we're going to be the one that changes them.
We're not. I'm such a hopeless romantic to think that sometimes. Yeah, I do feel like I'm the person that will change. But honestly, it's kind of better to be the one that got away.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you want to be in that position? How much power you hold of, if this person were to think about you, it's like, oh, shoot. They really were that person. Heck yeah, we were.
Yeah, we were.
I'd rather much be that than years and years trying to change somebody to fit this mold that I have, when I can, when I know, because there's so many amazing human beings in this world, that there has to be somebody that matches that.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh,
I 100% agree.
Anyway, have you had any ultimatums given to you that you can recall?
No, I've never had an ultimatum given to me.
Good.
If
you were to have one, how do you think you would react? Like, what if somebody said, Shay, you can't go with the girls tonight. Look, like, dressed like that. Because
He's done. He's done.
Insecure.
I'm pushing him out the window because insecure. Why are you so insecure?
Why are you so insecure?
That's gross.
It is.
I think there would be certain ultimatums that I could get behind.
Okay.
If like only things that maybe made them feel uncomfortable, that were rational.
Yes, I agree.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to think of an example.
I know, I'm trying to think of an example too.
Like, okay, let's say if my partner was sober, like they don't drink, and they said, please just don't drink around me because I can't handle that. And
otherwise,
if you can't do that, then we can't be together. Like, not never drink. Like, don't drink around me. I'd be like, okay, that's
a totally
fair ultimatum.
I agree with
you. That's something that makes you uncomfortable.
They're setting a boundary. It's ultimately a boundary to protect them.
Yeah.
I agree with you. Things like that are very rational, but not the whole, I've never believed in, if you don't stop talking to this person, we're going to break up. Or if you don't do this, I'm not going to be with you. Or if you
keep going out with the girls, like you said, in a little outfit, well, I'm not going to be with you. Then, and you know what? That's totally fine. Don't be with me, because obviously I don't fit the mold of the person that you want.
Right.
Go and find somebody who wears long conservative dresses.
Yeah, which is fine too.
Which is fine, but that's not me.
No.
I'm not going to do that.
I do feel like this, okay, this is reminding me of one of my old friends that I went to post-secondary with, and she's actually married now. She has two kids. They're so beautiful, and her husband are great. But I remember she had said to him very early on in their relationship, if I could be wrong in this, but I believe she said to him, if you don't proposed to me, like, after 2 years of us dating, that I don't know that I want to be with you, because I think she was getting to an age where she knew she wanted to be married, have kids. Yeah. And also, I feel like by that point, a man knows. I feel like men know very early on. Yeah, and so she was very blunt with, like, if you don't, I will leave. Yeah. But he knew he was going to marry her. And he did within the 2 years of them dating. But there you go. Also, it was like, I know I want to be with this woman. Mm-hmm. I will do whatever it takes.
Yeah.
And not the whole, like, 10-year, I don't know what I want. Correct. Are you sure?
Correct. And also, that was something that she put in place when they started dating.
Yes.
She
said,
if you don't engage to me within 2 years, then I feel like you're not serious about this.
Yes.
Like,
especially because of their age. I think it's different if we had met someone when we were 17 years. Please do not propose to
me.
Please don't. But as you age, especially the biological clock of a woman, it's like, you know that you're looking for this, which is why I think this is also a side rant of, like, some shows like The Bachelor, for example. Mm. Obviously, these are reality TV shows, but some people go on them, like, genuinely knowing that they want to marry in a short period of time.
Yeah,
because they're a certain age. That's their timeline. That's what they felt like they were here for, is to find a partner. And you know what? It works.
Yeah, it does. And I think, not that this is a vast generalization and it's going to be different for everybody, but I think if you're dating and you're over 30 and somebody doesn't know if they want to propose to you within 2 years.
I agree.
Okay.
I kind of agree. Yes, very generalized in this, but I agree. What are you doing?
What are you doing?
Do you,
unless you never wanted marriage in the first place.
Agreed.
Then that's a different story. Yes. But, like, if you're intentionally dating some, like, people.
If you're saying that you're intentionally dating somebody at that age, over that age, or that's like when men in their 40s, not that I date men in their 40s, but I hear them saying, I don't know, it's complicated. Are you sure? Or are you just afraid to grow up?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what's going on there?
Are you afraid to be held accountable for your actions?
What is?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're just shit talking these men. Sorry.
No, they're fine.
They're fine. It's fine. Okay, ultimatums. I agree with you. They're not my most favorite thing, just based on, I agree, the rational one's fine. Like the example you did about the sobriety thing of, like, please don't drink around me. This boundary setting is healthy. But I very much don't like when people are trying to tell other people what they can and cannot do. And then if you don't, they'll get really upset by it. Mm-hmm. It's never been okay with me in my books. I remember, not that this was an ultimatum, but it just reminded me of this. I remember I was dating somebody, or whatever stupid situationship thing it was at the time, which we'll get into. Our next thing, I guess, can flow into that. this was my really long-term, like, on-again, off-again boyfriend who I thought I was so in love with, the only person that I thought I loved. I remember I was telling him that I was in some music video, and it was just some casual thing.
I remember this.
Yeah, and I was so excited for it. I was with my friends. Yeah, we're dancers here. Anyway, I'm in this cute, well, I didn't know what dress I was wearing yet, but I had my makeup done. I was so excited. I remember driving to the dance studio because I had to work before, and I was telling him, you know, I'm going to be in this music video with some of the girlies, and it's going to be so fun. And then he kind of was not excited for me. The reaction I received was not what I thought it was going to be. I thought it would be of more support. And it kind of came as a, I don't understand why you're doing this. I didn't think that you were that type of girl, which,
What are you trying to say?
I'm a whole bag for, and what if I were? But also, what am I going to do? I'm not going to twerk with my bare bum out. First of all, I can't twerk. Second of all, I'm not going to show my bum to the camera.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to wear a tight little dress, but I've always loved to wear short little things, cute stuff. And I just remember, not that he said you can't do it, but that he was just very disappointed that I was. And I was so pissed.
Like a father.
I just didn't think you were that type of girl. Okay. And I remember hanging up the phone on him and I said, if you're not going to support me in what I'm doing, I'm not doing anything wrong. I wasn't disrespecting boundaries.
Yeah.
I was, anyway, it was fine. But it just, that bothered me because that was similar to an ultimatum of like, why are you doing that? Or I'm going to think less of you now for this thing that you wanted. Well, why?
And that's why I think there's such like a fine line between boundaries and ultimatums.
Yeah.
And I think that those need to be like established in your relationship. And that's also why you shouldn't date someone if they don't fit the mold of the person that you want to be with.
Or if you're that insecure. I agree with you, though. Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway.
Let's go to our next one. What is this? Oh, this is such a funny one. This is so lame. We have creating a Christmas list is smart and doesn't take away holiday cheer. Would rather get people things that they want/need. I am all for Christmas lists. I know some people believe that it should be all about surprise. And, you know, if you know the person, you should just get what you think that they'd like. And I feel like my dad is very much someone that doesn't love lists because I don't know why. I'm not really sure about that. But maybe he just thinks that it takes away from the effort. But I don't know. Mm. I personally love lists. I give my friends and my mom and family a list every year because why wouldn't you want to spend the money? I would rather spend my hard-earned money on things that I know you will genuinely use.
Exactly. And it's like, I've gotten some horrible Christmas gifts.
Oh, same.
Some terrible ones where I'm like, I actually feel guilty because let's say you get me a sweater and it's ugly. Like, I'm not going to wear it. Or maybe it's not ugly. It's just something I would wear.
Something that's not your style.
And I'm like, now I feel bad that you wasted this money. You didn't even give me a gift receipt.
Agreed.
So what are you doing?
Yeah, it's a bit hard.
And now I just feel awful. I feel terrible. Because this is just going to go into the back of my closet. I'm never going to look at it again. And you spent your money on it.
And then you feel guilty for also you don't want to get rid of it because you don't want that one chance of, do you still have that sweater?
I was saying, I think we should make like registries like they do for weddings. You get like your list and it can have links to everything. Honestly,
so good.
Have links and then you post it on your close friend's Instagram story and you send it to your family. There you go. And then the people that do want to get you gifts, they have something to choose from. And then on the registry,
it'll say who, like, if it was purchased or not.
Exactly.
That's actually really smart because I've been just putting my Christmas list in my phones, like, in my notes app. And that's great because I have, like, the checkmark thing, even though my friends don't use it because it would say what is checked off. But when I send it to my mom and my friends, I don't. Like, I just send the exact same list. And so my mom's like, well, what is not getting you? And I said, I don't know. You have to coordinate with her. Like,
exactly.
And so it would be a lot easier if you had a registry thing that would say this has been purchased already.
Yeah.
That's so smart.
I think we need to start implementing it.
I think we should start implementing that too. Not that gifts are the only thing about Christmas, guys. Obviously, we know it's not about that. Love a good little present here and there. Love a good birthday present. Also, do you believe that? This is not a hot take that we have on here, but it just reminded me of this. If your birthday is very close to Christmas, do you believe in getting the two for one?
Needs to be separate. It needs to be separate because why? I'm still getting a gift on my birthday that's 6 months away. Why wouldn't you get one on yours?
Exactly.
That's so rude. It's so rude.
Exactly. I've gotten some.
I'm so upset.
I definitely do get separate gifts, but I know sometimes it's like, Merry Christmas, Happy Birthday. I'm like, my birthday's not here yet. But I know some people who are actually born on Christmas or the day before, and that's just not fair.
And then you gotta have the party like a few days later.
Yes.
Like, you gotta do the whole thing.
Yes.
Because it's actually rude
you deserve
that we
two
just can't
gifts.
Move the Christmas day around, but for when it just fits in our schedule. Honestly, that's another hot take. We should be able
Jesus
to move.
Was born that day.
Like, if Halloween falls not on a weekend, we should just be able to change
that.
It.
I agree.
It should be like 1,000%. The last Saturday of October.
I
every
agree
year.
With you completely on that, especially for Halloween.
Yeah,
especially when people want to go out and party or trick or treat. Why? You don't want to be a parent walking late, being like, oh, my kid has school tomorrow. No,
exactly.
They're going to have a candy crash. They want to sleep in.
Yeah, they're probably going to be throwing up all night from the
so
candy that
true.
They ate.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, okay, what's our next
one? So different than Christmas, but we have safe casual is the move. We're pivoting. Yeah, doing a quick thing. Not that I've ever really talked about this on the podcast, but I also think it's important. Our listeners are mostly in their 20s, but I mean, this affects everybody at any age, but especially when we're younger, we have to be little bit more safe as when we're not with our lifelong partners.
We gotta be smart.
But having safe casual is, I think, the number one thing that we need to be doing.
Yeah.
Stop with this unprotected stuff. Stop with, even, fine, if it feels better, fine. But even if.
No.
We're trying to be safe. We're trying to be safe. Even if.
Safe. And there are drugs you can take now, too.
Are there?
Mm-hmm. It's, you have to take it every day. There's one for HIV, but then there's one that's more of a broad spectrum for all STDs. So it's a preventative.
Oh, so you can take it without even. You take it
every day, and it's supposed to prevent STDs, STIs, and it is called, like, PrEP is the HIV one, and that's been around for quite a while. Mm-hmm. I think the other one is called, I'm not going to say it on here because I don't actually know the name, but they do have it. So,
and you should be doing that also on top of having protected sex, you think?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't know. PrEP is really good for HIV. Yeah. Like, it will completely, like, it's really good. I mean, I think you should always just wrap it up.
But that's the point, is like, even if you are taking these other things, like, this medication, I think you should be wrapping it up. Unless you're getting married to this person, I'm telling you. Exactly. You should be doing that.
Exactly. And we can't trust the men in our lives to have them.
We can't. Because they'll have an excuse for it sometimes.
Always.
Absolutely not. What do you mean you don't have it?
Always. There's always some type of excuse. There's always something. A lie.
And if they also always come with an excuse, no. Do not give them access. They do not get to collect, go and pass the $200. Like,
yeah.
You need to be safe and protecting yourself. Mm-hmm. It's way more attractive, I think, by being safe. Yeah. And also getting regular STI checks. I think that
is a good thing.
You checking and testing yourself regularly is a very good thing. Obviously, when you have new partners, I think that's great to do. If you're not, then once a year. If you're not super active, totally fine. Yeah. I think that you should just be keeping yourself safe at the end of the day.
It is smart.
I'm glad that we're in agreement on.
It is very smart to do. Yep. And hopefully, I think we've lessened the stigma around it. Hopefully one day there will be no stigma around it.
I hope so too.
Let's just talk about, let's not get pregnant either with some random man's baby. Because look, you can go and do the abortion route. Absolutely. Yeah. But do we even know if this man's going to support you in an abortion? And then let's say you don't have an abortion. Let's say you're scared or you don't want to do that or whatever reason. And then you have some deadbeat.
Yeah.
As a dad. Mm-hmm. Oh, that sounds like torture. Like literally torture. And then you have to, this man is going to be a part of your life for the rest of your life.
Yes.
The rest of your life. And you're going to be texting back and forth. Who's picking up the kids today? Oh God.
Yes.
That awful. Horrid, actually.
Yes. So being smart in that scenario
and
choosing people wisely are just wrapping it up so you don't have these instances occur.
What did they used to say? Wrap it or here's a saying.
I think I know what you're talking about. I can't
think of it right now.
All I know right now is don't be silly, wrap the willy. That's the one I thought, but I know the one that you're talking about.
Yeah.
I can't get it out right now.
Yeah.
That's but okay. If you are choosing to be sexually active with people, I think you need to take the safe precautions to protect yourself, protect them, be open with conversation about, you know, your sexual activity, when the last time you got tested and all that stuff. I think that I agree with you, there's some stigma around it where it's kind of hush-hush and we don't necessarily talk about it and it's kind of taboo sometimes, but it's so important as we get through life that we need to be more open with this type of communication.
Absolutely.
Communication is key in this state. So
I agree.
Love it.
I agree.
Okay, what do we have next?
Okay.
Do you want to start and open with this one, Shay?
Absolutely. Okay, this is my hot take on the how we pathologize and almost trivialize dating nowadays, like especially on social media. I'm pretty much only on Instagram, the little Facebook visit here and there, Facebook Marketplace, but that doesn't really
marketplace.
Like
it doesn't really go.
Doesn't really go. But I just see so many videos, and maybe it's just my algorithm now, and so many things of being like, take this quiz to see what your attachment type is. And then there's like all these rules to dating, and then what kind of dater are you? Oh, and there's the talking stage, and then the situationships, and the
Are we exclusive or are we not? Yes, the love bombing.
There's so many things nowadays where I'm like, I think we've literally taken these words that did have a meaning at one time, or even like bare minimum, which I think, sure, like we can talk about it, but also
I say the bare minimum a lot,
but also it's like, when can't we just get back to like finding true love? Like, what is true love anymore? Because everything is being so pathologized. It's like you can't even like a boy anymore without it being like, well, maybe that's your anxious attachment style talking. And I'm like, I'd stop. Or even like, I've been called avoidant multiple times by men. And it's like, I'm not avoidant, actually. It just took me a few weeks to realize that you suck. And it's not me being avoidant or being scared of being in a relationship with you. Well, actually, I am scared of being in a relationship with you.
Okay. That's an underlying thing then. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because
you're terrible. You suck. You're awful. Okay. So that's what makes me scared of it. But I'm like, I'm not avoidant. It just, it takes people some time to truly get to know someone and then realize, oh, you're not the person for me. So I'm just going to let you down easy. And move on.
I agree.
There are definitely scenarios where avoidance is real and anxious is real. Like these attachments that people can have in reactions to certain situations going on in their relationships. But we've gotten to a point where it's like, you're one or the other. And I'm like, what?
I think that I agree with you on that, is that it is such a topic of conversation where people do often say, and I even have found myself on when I was dating, asking, you know, what is your love language and things. Granted, I think that that one's important, but also like, what is your attachment style? Which, do you feel though that how you were raised and the love that you were shown and the love that you saw between your parents has an effect though on how you and the people that you were with previously have an effect on how you react now in dating? Because I feel like that does kind of affect it. It may not be the sole cause. Like, yes, I don't think that you should say I am an avoidant person. Just like I used to think I was an anxious attachment, but I do feel as though it is dependent on who you're with.
Yeah.
But also who you're with will bring out certain things of you. But ultimately it's what you were taught and what you were learning as you were growing up. So I feel like that does have an effect on it, but it isn't the sole thing of like you taking a 5-minute quiz.
Yeah.
Answering these questions are going to tell me all you need to know about you and how you're always going to be in a relationship. I don't know that that's necessarily true.
No, and I think you're absolutely right. And it's definitely like, what relationships did you see when you were growing up, and how did you see like adults in your life reacting to situations?
Yeah.
Absolutely goes with it. But I just feel like if you are with like a safe, kind, like considerate person that you are falling in love with, it's like, I think people will say avoidant, but it's like, why are you pushing that person away? There's probably a reason that
there's
you're pushing
definitely
that person
an underlying
away.
Reason.
I think
for sure.
In small scenarios, okay, maybe you're pushing this person away because you are scared of commitment, or you're scared
for
of
sure, but or also, getting hurt again from past things.
Absolutely. I definitely think that happens, but I think we just have made it like this huge thing where in every single relationship there's somebody who's avoidant, there's somebody who's anxious, and then the rare person that has a secure attachment type. And I'm like, I just don't think that that is true at all. I think we need to get back to like just – well, not get back to it, because I don't think that we've ever really had like a super healthy dating scene in our history, to be honest with you. But I think it would just be nice if we stopped comparing everything to posts we see on Instagram or quizzes we take about ourselves online saying, how are you – like what – are you like in a relationship?
Yeah, that's not really the true definition of how you show up and who you are and what your relationship's going to be. I don't know that really says a lot.
Or like, oh my God, like the love bombing. Like I completely understand that it does happen sometimes where somebody will give you all this attention and then like pull back really quickly.
It definitely happens.
But also, I've found myself literally being like, oh, maybe they're love bombing me. Okay, maybe I need to take a step back. Right. And they were just being a nice human.
They're just being a nice human. Like, I agree. I think we're thinking so much of like, it has to be this when maybe, at least for myself, like, I'm sure in the past some men have been like, oh, she must be love bombing me, but I'm actually just genuinely showing my interest in who I am as a person. Because I would do that for my friends. Like, I am going to show up at your door with flowers and be like all cutesy or like surprise you with something just like you do with me. And like, I don't think that we would classify as, oh, man, you're love bombing me as a friend. It's just you're being who you are by nature.
Exactly.
And it's not always this definition of it has to be love bombing or it has to be how I'm reacting here then has to be because of this. Like,
yeah, exactly.
I agree with you in that sense. It's not always because of this thing.
We're almost just like psychoanalyzing.
We are. And we're also overusing a lot of these words. And I'm guilty for it. I'm overusing it. I literally just said the word situationship as if that was a thing 10 years ago. Yeah, we would not have classified it as that.
No, no.
Where's the, just like the, I'm seeing someone, they're pursuing me, I'm pursuing them, we're dating.
Yeah.
Or are we not?
Exactly.
Like, which one? Yes, it's either you're dating them or you're not.
Yeah.
What's this whole in-between thing? I think that these are all excuses, ultimately.
Whoever
invented these names.
I 100% agree.
Are excuses to, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Get into this real deal.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
There's not different names for marriage.
No.
It's a union.
It's a partnership.
It's a partnership.
Meaning the same thing.
They all mean the same thing. And also, you don't have to get married to then be common law, but that's also a very hand-in-hand thing, too.
Yeah,
you just don't have the certificate of it. You still get rights. But they all mean the same thing.
Correct. So, I just think we need to stop overusing these, like, words that do have a lot of impact.
They do. They have a lot of impact.
Because they can really make you question yourself in relationships, and they can really make you question well-intentioned people.
I agree.
Because I think if you are just going into something, like going into a relationship with your best intentions and you're being like fully your true self, you will be able to see eventually if they are going in with those same intentions or if they don't have good intentions or they're not a very good person.
Agreed. Yes.
But the signs are always there.
The signs are always there pretty early on.
Yeah. Okay, what's next?
That is so funny. Oh, what a perfect segue as we were just talking about men earlier.
Uh-huh.
I already know your thoughts on them. Also, guys, we just want to preface on our next one. We're not shaming the amazing men in our life, okay?
No.
This is also a very generalized assumption, these thoughts, these opinions. We know not everybody is like this in the world.
Correct.
Obviously. And this goes for men, women, theys, them, everybody.
Exactly.
It doesn't just go with this, but the fact of the matter is that this is happening right now, especially on our Instagram. We're hearing a lot about the male loneliness epidemic, so we are going to be talking about males in particular, but we know it's not all of you. So we are generalizing, but we're not saying that all of you are this way.
No, exactly.
We're not trying to talk down to you guys. I get life is hard sometimes.
And
for
the
you.
Thing about the male loneliness epidemic is it's obvious that it happened. It makes sense that it happened with the patriarchal structure that we have. Sorry, that men have built.
Correct.
Not we.
We have not decided
that. Men have built, they have unfortunately brought this upon themselves.
I agree.
So it is, it makes sense that it happened, and it is a real thing, and men are lonely, and men do commit more suicide than women, and these are true facts.
Yes.
But if we actually want to get to the core of the issue, then we need to think about breaking down the patriarchal structures.
And maybe start looking inward.
Start looking inward and maybe start looking towards like the women in our lives and how like all the women in my life have built a community for themselves.
Agreed.
Like it's just we need communities. Like we need a village.
Humans thrive on connection with each other.
Yeah.
The famous saying, it takes a village. It does.
It does. How do you think a village?
Way back in the olden times, before any of this, how do you think they survived? Because of each other.
Because of each other.
They worked together. They built a community.
Yeah.
They did. Yeah. They worked hand in hand with one another. And I think we lost sight of that a long time ago.
And I saw this really interesting interview from somebody who was like a self-proclaimed. They used to be like red-pilled. So they were one of like they called themselves like an incel. And then they had to do so much work to get out of it. And they said, it makes sense. Like when you're a young man and he was a teenager and you feel like the world is against you, it's so much easier to blame the woman in your life.
Of course.
And not look inward to be like,
of course.
To be like, well, no one likes me. Well, they like women only go for the top 20% of men or whatever they talk about.
I remember seeing
and
that.
All of this. And it's like,
it's easier to almost in that sense. And I'm using this term loosely, it's not the most appropriate, but it's easier to play the victim and kind of give into that instead of working harder to then get out of it of like, what can I do to better myself? Is this something I need to work on as an individual?
Yeah.
Can I grow from this? And not it's uncomfortable. And I think that's why people don't look inward.
Yeah.
Especially men.
It's like, how do you show up for like your friends? How do you show up for the woman in your life? Like, how do you show up for these people if you are in this mentality that everyone is out to get you and none of it is your fault?
Yes, yes. The lack of accountability is huge on that end, too.
Exactly. So it's like, and I know that we have men in our lives who have built communities.
Agreed.
And are secure in their masculinity.
Agreed.
And treat humans, treat women with respect.
Yep, everybody.
Treat everybody with respect. And it's possible. You just have to get out of that mentality of women are out to get us. Honestly.
I agree. I also think it's difficult when you're in that mindset and then online things are feeding that exact narrative that you want to hear.
Exactly.
Or the people that you are surrounding yourself with, because often I feel like you create an environment with like exactly a lot of like-minded people.
Yeah.
So if there are other men in your life who are feeding you this information of like, you're right, this is the problem that we have, it's because of women, or it's because like nobody likes you, or it's whatever it is. That is feeding that narrative, and it'll only get you deeper in that hole.
Exactly.
Which fuels this loneliness. And obviously, it is a very lonely feeling to be in. I can't imagine feeling the way that some of these men probably have opened up online about feeling of like genuinely feeling lonely.
100%.
Uncomfortable in who they
are.
It must
be difficult.
I bet you, but everyone in life goes through things. We've also been through some shitty things too.
Correct.
And until you decide to, turn that mirror over and look inward and really focus on like, okay, what do I want? Or like, am I feeding into narratives that aren't serving for me? What can I do to better myself? Also, low key, I feel like they are doing it to themselves.
They are.
For one, we gave you life. That's all I just want to say. Correct. Is that we're like,
a woman literally gave you your life.
Exactly.
And put themselves at risk of death for you.
Exactly. So. Like, I think we've risked a lot for men to be here.
Yeah.
And I think that some argue that we don't necessarily need men. I mean, we joke about it all the time that we don't.
We don't.
As women. But we obviously want you guys here.
Yeah.
You serve a purpose.
Of course.
For a reason.
Of course. But yeah, it's just – and I think – and we were talking about this before of now that women have autonomy, especially like financial autonomy.
It's a big thing.
You know, we can get a credit card now. We can buy a house and – that's only been in the last, honestly, 30, 40 years.
Which is crazy that that's only just begun.
Like we were talking about how my mom she was born in the 60s and she couldn't get a credit card until the 90s.
And she couldn't because she was single.
Because she was single.
The fact that your status, your marital status, affected how you were in society and how you were looked and the opportunities that you got is insane to think about. Yeah. That was a thing.
And she was a professional woman. She was making money, but no one would give her a credit card. So now that we have all this autonomy and we can do all of these things, the men who have put so much self-worth on being a provider, doing all these things for women and being these men, they're feeling insecure.
Yes.
And they're finding these online spaces and
that are feeding that exact thought.
Feeding that exact thought of we're trying to take over the world.
Which
we're just trying to live our lives.
We're trying to live our lives in the best way that we can, I feel. Yeah. And also the patriarchy and how men have viewed as, you know, I even still now, men do still get paid more. They get more opportunities. Yeah. Still. But I also think that there's such a fear with it that they see how powerful women are as well. Because again, humans in general are so powerful.
Exactly.
I don't think it matters what your gender is. No. I don't think it matters the color of your skin. No. I think that, but because these men who are feeding this narrative and talking to these like-minded people who feel this way, they're terrified that we're going to just then take over and kick them out? Obviously not. There's blue dog for a reason. But but all for real, I think they're genuinely scared that we can surpass that. Yeah. So they're doing everything that they can to let us not get there.
Exactly.
But that is also feeding into their loneliness that they're experiencing because then they're reacting in a way that's negatively affecting their relationships with women.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. Because I've dated numerous, I've dated many men who have made many me question men. My question they, my intelligence and make me feel as though I don't know what I'm talking about.
Because you're a woman.
They're the ones that have to take the lead. That I need guidance. And I'm like, what do you mean?
Why can't this be an equal partnership? What do
you
mean?
You literally, I'm a grown woman living on my own in Vancouver. Why do you think that I would need you to give me guidance on my life? That's the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life.
It's crazy. And yes, I would love men to take the lead on some things. Please.
Not me.
Well, no, in terms of, funny things, please just plan this date so I don't even need to think about it. Please do that. Take the role on that. You want to, I don't know, mount something to the wall? Do it. You think I want to do that? No, I want to do other things. I want to do other things, hang out with my girlies. Agreed, why are you also, these men that have told you or tried to guide you in how you should live your life, first of all, not really sure that they're at a place to do that. Are they financially more successful than you? No.
No.
Are they just at a place where they even can? Not that anybody can tell you what to do, but if you're going to tell somebody what to do, you better be somebody. I'm trying to think of famous person that could tell you what to do.
Unless you're my professor.
Right.
You're my teacher.
Right.
Don't tell me what to do.
So true.
What do you mean? You're telling me what to do? That's just insane to me.
I agree. And I also feel like men now want to be, they want to be the provider. They're saying, that is our role. But then they're not. I'm like, no. But where are you doing that?
And then how?
You're complaining about not doing it, but you're not doing it.
And then how they're doing it is they're making the woman feel patronized and infantilized in their relationship. They're like, I'm providing because they feel stupid now. What are we doing?
No, I agree. I'm not sure what we're doing. I think that even goes into the problems with dating, modern dating nowadays.
Oh, 100%.
It is very problematic, and I'm not sure, unless, again, everybody decides to look inward, I'm not really sure what our best solution is at the moment.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to listen to somebody, but men don't seem to want to listen to women right now. And also women, to be fair, I don't necessarily want to listen to a man unless they are going to add value to my life. Because if you're going to mansplain things to me, please don't. I don't want to hear it.
Absolutely not.
Actually, I hate when they do that.
Don't ask me if I'm familiar with Google Teams. Microsoft Teams. Yeah. That's so funny,
Google Teams. I had somebody ask me if I was familiar with Teams. What do you mean, sir? Unless I don't know an institution or an organization that doesn't use Microsoft Teams. Even if you didn't use it at work.
I don't use it. We use Google.
But you know what Teams is.
I know what Teams is.
Or at least you can guess. Are you familiar with it? What do you mean? What do you mean am I familiar with it?
And why did you need to be familiar with it in the context of what we were.
Yeah, correct.
Anyway, it's just bad.
Yes, agreed.
Out there. It's just bad. Because, yeah, we really are in, like, this dichotomy of asking men to step up to the plate of, like, and some people, like, do, like, some women, like, do wanting a provider. I personally, I'm like, I'm good. You don't need to provide anything for me. You can provide for
yourself. I love it.
You can provide. Yeah, we can provide for ourselves. But then.
But you have to add. They have to add to your life.
They have to add. And that's the main thing is, like, you have to be adding to my life. I don't want to be in a situation where you think you're in this provider role, but really, you are actually not in a provider role. You're correct. In a power role where you just have power over me in the relationship.
Yep.
And I honestly think that a lot of men think that that's what providing is.
I completely agree with you.
Financial power. It could be emotional power. Could be other types of power as well.
I agree with you.
And that's what they think being a provider is, and that's not true.
And that's not true. I agree. And we're here again to reiterate that we understand the male loneliness epidemic is real. We understand that there is an issue going on and you're feeling lonely. And I hope that you do have a solid group of friends that you have community that you can lean on and genuinely talk about your feelings, because men don't, I feel, often talk about their feelings enough or really be vulnerable. And I think it's such a strength to do that. And I've said that before. I'm a big advocate for really speaking your mind and having good people in your corner. Mm-hmm. But it also starts with you and who you surround yourself with and the beliefs that you choose to have and like wanting to better yourself and like how can you actually do it instead of blaming other people, because
100%.
It's not really about that.
It
doesn't help anybody.
It doesn't help anybody.
Agreed.
Okay, what's our next one?
What's our next one? Thoughts on living alone.
Because we both live alone. Because we both live alone.
I'm so curious about, you know, how, I mean, you've lived alone longer than I have, I would say.
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
I guess, because you've been.
About 6 months.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I guess solely alone. We've kind of almost been in the same amount of time.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, like, what are your likes, dislikes? I love that Shay posted a video the other day of her just, you know, doing gymnastic tricks on her couch and the wall. And honestly, it almost made me get up to try some on my own. But I didn't, because my ankle, I'm like, I probably shouldn't right now.
You're injured.
Well, yeah. And
I realized that I have free will. I was like, I can literally do whatever I want.
That we can practice free will.
Yeah. I love that humans. We can practice free will. I have no complaints about living alone.
No, it's zero. So good.
None. It's so good. It's so good. You don't have to worry about anybody being in your space. Cleaning, like, you don't have to worry about somebody messing things up. Like, I like things how I like them.
Yeah, and you can leave something somewhere and it'll be in the same spot.
Exactly.
Like, I loved living with roommates. There were so many fun times about
it. There are a lot of fun times living with
roommates. But it's also great to just be on your own. Mm-hmm. It's nice to not talk to anybody. It's nice to, again, be in charge of your own space and what you want to do with it and how you want to decorate it. And, like, you can get all your matching towels that you want in the cutlery.
Oh,
and
it just, so nice. So nice. It's so nice. I will say, we have a different opinion on this, I think, than a lot of people do, because we live in such a walkable city. So
I agree.
We have everything that we need close by. We have friends really close by who we can go and visit. If you're not living in a walkable city and or you're living out of town or whatever it may be, then that could be a really different experience living alone. And I think it could be quite isolating.
I agree.
Which would be difficult. So I think we have a good where we are.
I completely agree with you on that. And I'm so glad that you brought that up, because if I were to live, I'm just imagining if I were to live by myself in the neighborhood that I grew up in with my mom, say I was alone, it would probably be very isolating. I agree. Well, because I didn't have, I wouldn't have you 30-second walk away.
Exactly. Well, and even where you were living a couple years ago.
Yeah, when I was, and I was just thinking about that in West Van. Like, yes, I did like my alone time, but the fact that I got to move back downtown and I'm so close to you guys,
yeah,
it is such a game changer, because we would actually have to plan, like, when can you drive out to come see me, or things like that. And I was spending a lot of time in solitude, which has its benefits.
Yeah.
But also, to the point of my landlord, when I lived by myself, you know, in the other city at the time, you know, she would joke and say, you don't hang out with anybody, like, you're always on your own. Yeah, she's like, you're young, Megan, get out and hang out with your friends. Oh, I'm like, yeah, but like, it's so hard. It's so hard, and I don't have a vehicle. You have to get home, and if you don't have a vehicle, because there's no point in Vancouver, because it's such a walkable city. Exactly. It's so different. But I agree, if you're somewhere central that is easily walkable and you have people around you, that improves your experience living alone tenfold for sure.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I have zero complaints.
I agree. I don't think I have any complaints. The only complaint that I would have is if I needed something. For example, I'm thinking about all the times that, you know, even when Sid and I lived together and she'd be out and I'm like, oh, Sid, like, are you on your way home? Like, do you mind stopping here? If she was already there, it was convenient in that sense. Like, I love that. Yeah. Or just having the, you know, if you're watching TV and you're talking to somebody, it's always nice to, like, have those moments. But it's not like you can't have that ever again.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just, yeah, it's, or yeah, things that I just don't want to put up myself because I don't know much, or like fix a toilet. I think I can fix a toilet, but I don't know that I can fix other things.
Yeah.
You know, it just depends. But
it just depends on the task.
Sometimes it's more convenient to have somebody with you.
Yeah.
But other times, like, for the most part, yeah, I have zero complaints too. Amazing. It's just, it's really nice. And I think I told you this, Shay, but I was teaching my little one the other day, and I don't know how, or maybe I didn't say it to you actually. I think I might have told my coworker. I don't know how the conversation came up, but I was telling my student, or we were saying that class needed to be ending so that I could go home, and she had asked, well, Miss Megan, are you going home by yourself? Or you go home alone? And I said, I was like, yeah, I live by myself. She said, you're going home by alone and you're going to eat alone and you're going to go to bed alone?
Oh, God.
Nobody there?
Oh, my God.
And she was like genuinely concerned I was alone. And I'm laughing. And the mom and I are like, no, that's the dream. I'm honey, I'm not alone. Let me tell you that.
That's
the dream. I'm very okay. Yeah. Coming home by myself.
So true. I love that mom was like, yeah, that's the dream.
It is a dream. It's
like, imagine being woken up at 5 a.m. a child like pulling on your hair.
Gosh, not now. Not
or
now.
Like a man.
Oh my, breathing loudly.
Literally breathing loudly.
Loudly leaving the toilet seat up, give me a break. Horrid. And so, you know what? This is a great mindset shift to have. For those of you who are living alone and like maybe feeling a bit isolated or lonely or just sad that you're on your own, take it from two people who have, you know, experienced both sides of it, of like being with people and being on their own. I think that it is a beautiful experience. And if you are in it for, say you did break up with somebody and you were living with them and they're no longer living with you, that is an adjustment to make. But it also can be such a wonderful experience if you choose to have that experience. And you're obviously meant to be in this scenario at the moment. So why not take that opportunity with open arms and just be grateful for the time that you are spending with yourself, because you can learn so much about yourself. And
so
that's what's so cool about
it. And I also think, like, if money allows, every single person should live alone at some point in their life.
Even if
it's for, you know what, a couple months.
It would be something. Forever. It doesn't.
But just a little bit, because I think it's so important.
It is, because if you're going from living with parents to then living in a dorm room, say you go to university and you're living with a roommate, to then living with other roommates, yes, cost effectively, it helps.
Yeah.
Or then finding a partner, moving in with them. Like, you should live by yourself and really see how it is, because it's so good, guys.
It's so good.
I'm obsessed. And it's we tried to convince Brett and Han to come move down to the West End,
we really
too.
How
cool would have that been, though, if they were in an apartment building around here that I could see?
Would have been
so then
fun.
I would see you, and then I'd see them, and then we'd all meet. So funny.
I love it.
Talking about those communities, people. They're important.
So important. Okay, what do we have next? Ooh, I don't know that this is a hot take anymore. This is more of a question. We have a few questions, and then I'm actually curious of some thoughts Shay has about some of these other topics. But Tinks, for those of you who don't know, which you should by now if you listen to the pod, I always reference Tinks. I'm obsessed with her. She's so funny and amazing. But she has this theory where every single friend has a fatal flaw, where basically there is, if you have close friends, there's one thing about a close friend that is kind of, you would consider semi-annoying, but because we love our friends, they're our ride or dies, they're our BFFs, we kind of live with it. And I was just curious if you feel like every friend kind of has a fatal flaw.
Absolutely.
I think because I have fatal flaws.
All humans have flaws. And then if you get close enough with your friend, then those flaws are going to come out. They're going
to
come out.
And that's not to say, you know, if you're setting a boundary and your friend is constantly breaking that boundary. These are like little things you've just noticed that your friend always does this.
Yeah.
And so it's just kind of something, well, I might have to live with this. Or if you know.
Not a deal breaker at all.
It's not a like, deal breaker. It's just a, this happens. It is what it is. Kind of annoying, but I can get over it because I love my friends.
Exactly.
It's almost kind of like how you have to compromise in some things for a relationship.
Exactly.
Of like,
exactly.
You may not be able to have absolutely everything. It's like, I'm compromising this for this.
Yeah.
You know?
Because I think it would be insane to say, not everybody has a fatal, we all have flaws.
We all have flaws.
And they will come out in those close relationships that you have because you're comfortable and, well, it's just going to happen.
And you may not know your fatal flaw. That's okay. And your friends may not tell you your fatal flaw, and that's also okay. Sometimes it's better not to know.
Yeah.
Just live your life and be your amazing human self that you are and just know that nobody's perfect and every single person has a fatal flaw. I agree with you.
So true. So true.
I just love that phrase, the fatal flaw, is just like, it's not really going to go away necessarily. It's kind of always innate with you, but also something that you know wouldn't be a deal breaker for the people in your life that love you.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I 100% agree with that.
Okay. Another question that I came across recently, which I believe I saved the post, so I will tag the credit in where I received it. But I wanted to ask Shay this because I think she'd have some great insight on it. But do you believe that people naturally have good intentions or bad intentions, is what the post said. So I'm curious your take on that.
It's a very interesting question. Very nuanced, I think.
The answer
is very nuanced because I think, and it kind of goes into like, okay, are we mostly nature or are we mostly nurture? Mm. Like, do we have intentions inherently before we're born? Or do these intentions get built because of the people around us? Like, if you had literally zero good people when you were a child, like you literally were, let's say you're trapped in your home by your parents and they're awful, horrible people, and you didn't see anybody else on the outside, what are your intentions going to be? Like, you don't even know what a good deed is if that's all you've grown up with.
I am curious, though. It's hard because these are very different things, too. Like, if the question were to be phrased as, are people inherently good or bad, I think it's easy to say, and I think you and I both agree that we as humans are inherently good humans.
I would say
so. I think even if you are brought up in a very difficult home situation, like you were just saying, very isolated, I still think as a human you are pure and whole and you always have been, but the external factors and what you're dealing with kind of shape who you are in that sense. But the intentions are hard because
– hard.
And lots of people often – may use it as an excuse. They may say they do something wrong or to hurt another person's feelings, and then their excuse is, well, I had good intentions behind it. I don't know. Is that an arguable point?
Yeah.
Is it easy to justify, oh, well, these actions are fine then because this person had good intentions?
Right. Exactly.
I agree with you that.
That's the other thing, because what is a good intention?
What is? And how do you know, unless you're in the situation, in that terrible home life of like not being around anybody doing quote unquote good things, mm-hmm. what would your intentions be? I don't know that you could even say, because I don't know. I've never been in that. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. Or even like people, like kids who are born and they have psychopathy mm-hmm. and they kill animals because that's literally how their brain is wired.
That's true.
So it's
that's
like,
true.
But also, did they have good intention? Like, I don't know.
It is a hard question.
I don't know. Like, did Ted Bundy ever have good intentions? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
I don't know.
It's a really tough question.
It was a tough question. And I figured it would be hard to answer. But when I saw it, wow, it was crazy. I didn't even read any of the comments either.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want my mind to be swayed of whichever answer.
Yeah.
I just thought it was a very interesting phrase of question to have because I've never heard of that. I've heard of, do you believe people are inherently good?
Yeah.
Because I do think people are very good, but then choose to do bad things.
I agree.
But I think within you, there is always something good and whole. But the psychopathy of it too, like sometimes your brain is wired, but again, is that a product of
your
what you were born into in the environment?
Oftentimes
you obviously
don't know. We need a psychologist to weigh in on this one.
For sure. Anybody who's listening to the pod who's a professional in this, please, I would love your thoughts, Shane. I would love to talk to you about this.
I don't know.
That is such an interesting thing.
I think it's a nice thing to be like, I think people naturally have good intentions.
I think we would want to think that,
the people that I surround myself with do.
I agree. I think I can easily say that the people I have in my life have good intentions, and I wouldn't look at anything that they would come to me, if you were to come to me concerned about something that I was doing or whatever, like I would never think, oh, they have bad intentions or they're out to get me. Like I know that it's coming from a place of love and care, genuinely.
Agreed.
But hard to say about the person you don't know that just cut you off. Did they have bad intentions? I don't know.
Who is this person?
Exactly. I'm not
sure. I have no idea.
I don't know.
Good question.
Hard question. It was a good question, but hard. Okay. Kind of wanted your take on, so I hope you don't mind me saying this, but you have gotten out of a long-term relationship.
Yes,
I also think I already mentioned that on the pod, so anyway.
Perfect. They know.
I didn't go in like crazy detail, but I'm pretty sure I mentioned that you were out of one.
Yeah.
But you were in a relationship for a really long time, 5 years,
mm-hmm.
and you were with this person, living with this person for just about that time as well. And you have been broken up for
like 6 months.
6 months now, not even that long.
No.
But honestly, I would love your thoughts on how your long-term relationship changed you and also how you are now and if you feel like you've changed since then. Because I personally feel, obviously, I was your friend through this part of this relationship and then I've been your friend after. So I've seen who you are in a relationship and also who you are out of a relationship. One, it's so fun to see the not that you weren't fun and goofy before, but just how bold you are as a human, like single Shay is so fun. It's so hard to describe. And you've told stories about, you know, your past life before, and I always feel like you have some crazy stories and I love it. But it's so interesting because it's been not a 180 shift, but in some ways it has. Like you are, not that you weren't responsive before, but you always are down to hang out.
Yeah.
And I love that you text me randomly. And yes, it helps that we live literally so close, but it is different. And I see like an actual glow up from you, which is so crazy. Not that you really needed to glow up before, but like
so
just like your mindset and how how light and airy everything is. And like you're more bubbly and more energetic. And, you know, we were talking about this before of like you were in a relationship like during school and obviously dance, and like dance takes a lot of out of us, and school does too, so you were stressed with all of that. But I'm very curious about, you know, how your long-term relationship shaped you now, and also how, if you feel different being in it versus being out of it, and like if you do also feel like you have blown up, quote unquote.
All good questions, Meg.
Love.
Yes. Very long relationship. I think coming out of it, It's less so, and it's difficult for friends who met me while I was in my relationship, because they didn't know me before.
Yeah.
So I think it's less so of how I've changed after, and more so like coming back to myself.
That's such a nice way to put it. If you're so sense. Right, because yeah. I didn't know you before
exactly. the relationship. Yeah, so I feel like it's been like a coming back to myself where, oh. and I think everybody, and it is natural to like lose yourself in a relationship a little bit.
Yeah,
I think a lot of people do that, especially when you're young.
So common.
First like real boyfriend, like yeah, absolutely lost myself a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think I dimmed my light quite a bit. So
I would agree.
After the breakup, I was like, I just have to come back to myself.
Put yourself and yes, first.
And it takes me sometimes doing dances in my bedroom and like acting really silly all the time to like come back to myself. But it's worked. But and I feel that's like
amazing.
And I feel like my mind is a lot clearer now. And like you were saying, yes, I was in school and I was dancing and blah, blah, blah. But I do feel like my mind is clear. I have way more energy.
Yeah, I agree.
I want to see my friends more because my energy is not being drained.
That's a huge thing.
All the time. It's like – and not only because of like other reasons, but just the fact of being with somebody all the time. Because
– it does take a lot.
Yeah, and it's different than like having a roommate. Like you're –
you're still when able you're to home, have individual separate time.
Exactly. Or and even individual rooms. Like when you're at home yes. with yeah, your partner, you're always with them. Like you're not really going to go to separate rooms very often unless right. you're like, okay, I have to go work on something. It's like you're spending all this time together and it doesn't leave you a lot of time for other people in your lives. I think, again, being young. First relationship, that's going to happen.
I agree.
I think you can do it in a healthy way.
I think you I totally can create time for just yourself or saying,
yeah,
I need some space to recharge. I'm going to go hang out with my friends. You go do your own thing. I do think individual time separate is so important. But
yeah.
you're right. At being young, it is easy to get caught up in this relationship of it all and being like, yeah. oh my gosh, I'm with someone. I want to be with them all the time. And then
exactly.
kind of getting lost in it, like you said, yeah. and kind of losing parts of yourself. And the important parts that make you who you are, not
yeah.
you're not this conjoined person. Like you're still an individual. You're both still individuals mm-hmm. at the end of the day. You just create this beautiful union together, but it's still important to maintain the individuality of it.
Exactly.
And you're right. It is easier to get caught in it. So you yeah. were doing less goofy, silly dancing yeah. and less all of that just because you were with someone constantly and
yeah.
maybe not creating clear enough boundaries of uh-huh. healthy separation.
And it was also tough. We obviously started living together way too soon. And
that
not
role
only
too.
Did we start living together, but we moved to a different city together.
Also big. So but if was, you don't know people.
And during COVID. So it was literally like
hard.
Isolated pretty yeah. much for a year
yeah.
from all other people. Yeah. So that was just like our normal.
So it's kind of like that's the person you're clinging to. And
yeah.
then your normal then became, yeah,
yeah.
always
exactly.
with this person.
Exactly. So I definitely think, and I've heard a lot of people being like, you know, relationships got fast-tracked in 2020.
Completely.
For the worse.
Yeah, I agree.
For the worse.
Some absolutely fine. Beautiful.
Some
fine.
Beautiful, lovely relationships. Love it.
But
a lot of them for the worse.
Yes.
Because it was like.
You were forced to kind of. And be
cohabitate
stuck with,
yes. and self-isolate with each other
yes.
and just like so many issues. But I definitely think I'm much happier now. I love hanging out with my friends. I love not having to like clean up after somebody else and like do things. Honestly, it's and I think when you're young too, having to like always think about someone else.
Yeah.
is like kind of exhausting because you're just always in that space of like, are they okay? What are they doing? Are they me, me, me?
It is a lot of energy. I do agree. That is something that, you know, if I think about navigating the dating world again and I know, you know, you're having fun with that and going
yeah.
on your little apps and I love it.
Yeah.
But the thought of me like factoring in another human right now does freak me out a bit just
yeah.
because of all the time it takes because I know like we've all been there, I think, in some way of, gosh, this is really time consuming to
yeah.
then worry about what somebody's feeling, what they're
oh,
doing, and
yeah.
and then making time for them when, like, I just kind of want to hang, just
yeah.
focus on me, hang out with the people
yeah.
when I want to hang out with them and not
exactly.
worry about, you know, did I text this person back? Because
yeah.
I'm already not great at responding to a lot of messages. So the thought of having somebody constantly there too is kind of freaky right now.
Yeah, right now. And I also think, like, not that you're specifically looking for this, but I do think once you find the person that you want to be with, these factors will no longer matter.
Completely
and
agree.
And it won't even, you won't even notice.
I agree with you.
You won't even notice. It'll just flow.
I agree. It shouldn't be some, you're trying to put a square peg in a round hole type scenario.
Exactly.
Of like really trying to make it work. I agree. If it's with somebody who's meant for you and right for you, one, they won't pass by.
No.
But it just, you will, it will fit. They'll fit into your life and integrate beautifully.
I agree.
That there won't be challenges and problems, obviously.
Yeah.
But they won't drain your energy like maybe you have been feeling in the past. And even same with me. Like, you'll know that they, again, are adding to your life ultimately.
Yeah, I agree.
And not allowing you to lose yourself. And yes. Yeah. It's easy to get caught up in it, especially when it's new or you're having so much fun in the beginning, or like say it was COVID and you are in this fast track, but also knowing who you are as a human and like how much you love yourself and show up for yourself first, I think is a very telltale sign of, you know, how can I still create my independence in a relationship and maintain me, but then also like have another human that I can share parts of my life with, but not like be all consumed with.
Exactly. I 100% agree with that. I do. Not to say that there's not going to be other issues that will come out of the way. There's always going to be
something.
But it shouldn't feel like it is draining your energy.
Yeah.
And like taking away from your friends or like other things that you love in your life.
Yeah.
It should just like click.
It's so cool. I sometimes wish I knew who you were, like knew you before your relationship, just to like even have the comparison now. But regardless, it's so fun still of like seeing you then and seeing you now, and also still being in your life for both of these versions of yourself, but then knowing that you are coming back to you, because I don't know that we've ever really like talked about that, but I think it's so fun, and I think that not a lot of people, I think a lot of people can relate to it, but not a lot of people open up of, oh yeah, like maybe I was losing myself and then just finding me again and finding my voice and being able to be like just 100% me authentically and be goofy and silly and funny and do all these tricks in the living room and just not care. Like,
exactly.
I love that. Like you wouldn't have had energy beforehand. You would have been trying to navigate some argument or whatever.
Exactly.
Silly, trivial thing.
Exactly. Yeah. I 100% agree. So all good things. If you are also going through a breakup, there is light on the other side.
Always.
I will tell you that much.
Keep going
for yourself.
Yeah.
But also always remember there's always someone better. There's literally always someone better.
That's Tanks also has a saying of it's this or something better. So that's, if you're in this scenario, it's like I can be sitting miserable in this relationship.
Yep.
Or I can find something better. Or you're out of this relationship, you're feeling really down in the dumps. It's this or something better. Always strive for the something better. Something will come out.
Always something better.
Always something better for
you. Whether that's going to be your relationship with yourself.
Yep.
Whether that will be your relationship with your friends. Whether that's going to be
a new relationship.
A new relationship. Who knows? There's always someone or something better.
It's this or something better.
Yeah. This always or something better.
100%. Do you believe that time heals all wounds?
No.
Not all. Do you think time heals?
I think time allows you to reflect on things. I think when you love someone and you've been in a relationship with them for years, it's never going to heal that wound. Like, that wound will never heal. Like, it's always going to be, there are always going to be issues that will come up in your life that will reopen that wound.
Right. Little triggers. Always. I agree.
Little triggers. But I do think it's like, how do you rebuild from that? Or how do you figure out ways to cope with it? Like, what are your coping mechanisms when you do get triggered? Are you going to reflect on it, or are you just going to like back away? I think, So I think time makes things easier for sure, But I think it would be naive of me to say, oh, well, you know, in 10 years, I am going to be totally fine. I'm never going to think about this relationship again. Like, yeah, there's going to be nothing that still hurts me from this relationship, because I'm sure there will be.
Okay. I think that's so fair to say. I think that you can't say, yeah, time heals, and then 10 years, yeah, to say, yeah, this will never affect me, because you don't know. Like, you don't something know. Could come out of the blue, and then you'll get triggered or reopen that. Or I do feel like there are parts of your heart that always kind of give out to the people that you love. So that'll always be, like, within you.
Yeah.
But I do feel that time really helps in terms of, like, moving forward in a more positive way.
I agree.
Because if I think back to how I felt years ago struggling in a relationship that I was in, you know, looking now at who I was back then, I feel like sad for her. And I just want to give her a hug to know, like, it gets better with time.
Yeah, it gets better.
Distance, I also think, helps.
Yeah.
I think, time apart from the situation is healing, but I agree that it may not necessarily just fix everything if you're not willing to do the inner work to then get yourself to a better place.
Yeah, I agree. And I read something really interesting the other day, mostly for people who are maybe like a few months out of a relationship or out of a traumatic situation, that your body will go into survival mode for a little while after something really bad happens.
Body and then
there's
the
going
score.
To be a moment of release. There's going to be a moment. There's going to be a time when you feel safe enough, like you're not in this survival mode anymore, where it's just going to hit you like a truck.
Yeah.
And it will happen because we just
the body
do
does need
humans.
To release. Yeah, I think
the
we
body
do.
Needs to release.
Agreed.
We definitely just want to keep ourselves closed off in those moments when it first happens, because to survive, you can't feel everything when it first happens. Like you you can't survive that. Honestly, I think a lot of people would not be able to after, like, So then it takes a little while to actually feel it.
Wow.
Which I think is very, very true.
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
Yeah. And then you're in a better space to feel it.
And then that's
you have
also
a community
true.
Around you.
You're
you
in a better space with that time to then feel it and deal with it
and process. Yeah.
And actually let it release out of your body.
Exactly. Exactly.
And if you have that good community. Oh, that was great.
Oh, thank you.
Oh. Shay, what a fun time. I love that. We started off being so silly goofy, and then we got a little bit more philosophical. We got a little deep. I love it. I love our little deep talks.
I love our little deep talks.
I think that this was great. I don't know that I have
so much.
You had fun?
Yeah, this was so much fun. And we have, like, we talked about so much.
We talked about so many things. I think that a lot of this could help somebody, I hope.
I hope so.
And just, like, remind you that, you know, lean on the good people that you have in your life, and, like, they're always going to be there for you.
Exactly. And there's always something better.
This or something better. Also okay to disagree with your friends, because clearly we have some differing opinions on some hot takes, and that's okay.
And that's okay.
We love to have differing opinions. We love our little yap sessions. But that was so fun. Thank you for coming on the pod. Oh,
of course.
It was so
I'm
nice
honored
to have you.
To be here.
Honored. Love it. And if you guys enjoyed it, I would love if you could share this episode with someone in your life that you love and care about, that you think that this would help them, whatever it is, that would be great. And I hope that your week is filled with endless opportunities of joy and love and light. And I'm sending all of that incredible energy to you. We, in fact, are sending all of that incredible energy to you. So we hope that you feel it. And would love to have you back on the pod, Shay. Definitely. If you guys like Shay, let me know. We'll have her back on the pod to talk about something else, because I'm telling you, I know I said in the beginning, she's smarter than me. She's so intelligent. You're so smart. You know so many things. So I would love to pick your brain about certain things. And just if you guys are interested, would love to open up that conversation again with you. And also just love our little yap sessions, because we can go on forever.
We can.
Love this.
Anyway, guys, I can't wait to connect with you next Monday. Okay, bye, guys.
Bye.